Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's responsibly read this. I'll read the first verse, you the second, and we'll go up to verse 10. We'll read the first 10 verses. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for the word we have in our hands. We thank you for the fellowship of believers. We thank you for the promises that you've made, and we ask you, Lord, that you would bless this time that we're together. May your word come to us richly. May it give us a pleasure and a joy and, Lord, a hope and a faith. And, Lord, may we do your will. May we live for you while we live here. Now, help us this day. Give me freedom and ease to speak that only you can give and bless and touch each one of us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I got in verse 4, this caught me this last week, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Very interesting verse. And actually, I could use it for a text and just keep on preaching. I got to looking at all the great promises that we have and that we enjoy. What a blessing we have. And I had to limit it. I couldn't keep on going because there's just not that much time. This is a promise book. Amen. There are a lot of promises in this book. In the 61 years I've been saved, there's been a lot of times I went to that book and I got help. Amen. I got a new encouragement. I got a desire to hit it again one more time. Hit it again harder. Keep on going. Praise the Lord. And lift your spirit up. See what God can't do. God can do just about anything he wants to do. And what we have is, God tells us to pray. He said men ought always to pray. Not to faint. We preached on that here just a while back. But here I thought about this, and this is my topic for this morning. Great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. Wow. You know, when I think about life, everything I enjoy comes because I'm alive. Have you thought about it? You ought to think about it. Like I just had a funeral here this week of a dear sweet Christian lady that I've known for 40 years or so, 50 years or so. And bless your heart. you have a life and you enjoy food, you enjoy family, you enjoy work, you enjoy connections. Some of us in here are connected with all sorts of different things. We belong to this club, we belong to this church, we belong to this fellowship, we belong to some organization, whatever. All these things are part of our life, and all of this life is pleasurable to somebody. Now, I was thinking of my time I lived in Bernie, a little over 20 years. There was a ranch down about the where I made a turn. One of my roads, I had to turn to go back into San Antonio and to reach it every day, going to work and whatever. And they had a bunch of goats. It was a big place, very nice, very well maintained, and they had a bunch of goats. And those goats would be born, and they would just, you'd see the goat down on the field down there, and then they'd get up and they'd go find mama, and mama knew who her kid was, and the kid knew who mama was, and they would get their nourishment and whatever. And just a very short time, these little bitty goats are jumping up and down. I stopped my car. I'm going to watch them for 10 minutes. I mean, they didn't take any time at all. And you see some of these kids, they're not even walking at 9 months, you know. And they're crawling all around and whatever. Those little old goats, it was something, black, brown, white, they had all different colors, little bitty goats, and I would go by there and they'd just be jumping out in the field. I mean, I don't know how many were in that herd, may have been 100 or something like that. So I don't know how many little ones they had, but a bunch. And they're just jumping up and down and running and jumping. You know what they were doing? Enjoying life. That's what you do. That's what you do. You enjoy life. And without life, there's no enjoyment. You're talking about the soul leaving the body. And you're not going to have pleasure in food anymore when you die. Not here. You're not going to have pleasure in a whole lot of things. Now, the family and the friends and the job and the golf game and the shooting the guns and the planting of flowers and all sorts of stuff like that, oh, you got a lot of pleasure in that right now, but that's because of life. We don't have anything without life. I'm talking about physical life. Now, you may not be spiritually alive, but people that just have physical life, look around at the things that they do. And they have a lot of pleasure, spend a lot of money, spend a lot of time, because they're living. Well, one of the things that I thought about, everlasting life. Gospel gives us something. I think the first big promise is life forever. Amen. Not going to end. No more tears, no more pain, no more hell. When we read the gospel, we hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died in my place, paid my debt, is willing to forgive me of all my sins, and take me to live with Him. And He gives us a promise right there in John chapter 14. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. If there were no hell, He'd have told us. If there were no heaven, He'd have told us. If there were no mansions, He'd have told us. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I believe God has given us in this word, this book that we have here, a fantastic picture of what He wants for us. And we ought to get joy out of that. That ought to bring us a comfort and a pleasure. And so, everlasting life, John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that hath sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What is a great promise, a blessing? A blessing at every funeral of a born-again Christian. Is it he's going on to more life? He's lost the life in this life, in this body, in this earth. But by the promise of God here, he has an everlasting life. I'm personally looking forward to a 33-year-and-a-half old body that'll never get sick, never get tired, never wear out, never grow old. The Lord Jesus Christ, you got your lamb in the first year, a perfect lamb. Wow. What about that for a blessing? How about eternal life? Now, you got life? Do you enjoy life? Now, some of you may not. I don't know. I have enjoyed my life. I enjoyed it before I got saved, and I've enjoyed it since I got saved. I enjoyed my family. I enjoyed my mother and my dad and my sister. I enjoyed my extended family. I enjoyed what I did. I enjoyed going to school. I knew some people that didn't. They hated it. They just hated it. I didn't hate it. That's where all my friends were. I wasn't that strong academically, but I had a lot of friends and I had a lot of fun. And so I enjoyed life. I'm going to have everlasting life. Wow. That's a great big gift. That's a great promise. That's a real big one. That one's worth living for. That one's worth thinking about. That one's worth keeping in your mind to think, what has God given me? What has God promised me? Everlasting life. The life of God. God's child. Wow. And then some of you didn't have a very good father. Well, I'm sorry for you, but that wasn't my problem. I had a very good father. Wonderful parents and family. They loved each other. They loved us. They thought about us all the time. How about the fatherhood of God? Look at 2 Corinthians 6:18 and look at one another promise that you ought to think about. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. How about that? Maybe you don't have a lot of family. I got a big family. My mother came from a family of six children. My daddy with five children. That's 11 aunts and uncles, and then they're married. That doubles up, you know. And so I had all sorts of cousins. I was dealing with Verlene's funeral plot and wanted to get the date put on it right, you know, and whatever. And so I called up this lady that was running the cemetery over there. And after I talked to her for a little while, she said, oh, by the way, I'm your cousin. I didn't know it, but one of my cousins, one of their daughters or whatever like that, you know, I'm related to all those people. We went up there, the girls all got together, and they said, Dad, you want to go with us? We're going to go up to see the grave and whatever. I said, sure, we'll go. And when I get my three girls together, it's a party. I mean, it is a party. They're wild. They pick on each other, push one another, tease one another, and they have a great time. They really do. And I just have a good time going along because they pick on me too. But when we were up there, we went over to another cemetery where my grandparents are buried. And they were looking around because that was in the midst of their families, that they had extended families at this other cemetery. And we found one little gravestone. And the first name was R-Y-N-D-E-L-L. Now, my name is L-Y-N-D-E-L-L. And I thought I had a very unusual name. Well, now, there's this person. I don't remember if it was a boy or a girl, but they only lived 11 years. You're alive. You might even be old like me. You know what? Life is something else. My life hadn't stopped. A few times I thought it was going to. But, man, I've seen a few wrecks coming up. Oh, man, what in the world is going to happen there? But, no, I'm still alive. And I'm still enjoying this life. I'm still enjoying my family, and I'm enjoying my church. I'm enjoying my Bible. I'm enjoying the promises of Almighty God. And He said He'd be a father to me. I take that seriously. Amen. I think He is my father. I think He is my spiritual Father, my heavenly Father, my eternal Father, and I got the promise of the Word of God on it. We'll be a Father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters. I think you ought to appropriate that for yourself. I think you ought to think about that sometime. I'm coming into the presence of my dad, my father. And I'm going to ask him for something, something I want, something I need. I'm going to ask him to help me out in the problem I have today. I'm going to ask him to help me out when I'm sick. I'm going to ask him to help me out when I've got trouble in my family. I'm going to ask him to help me out whenever I don't know what to do tomorrow. You've heard some of these songs. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know I'm not real poetic, but the idea is there. I do know who holds tomorrow. And you know what? He's given me a pretty good outline on what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, I got it right here in this book. Not all of it looked very nice. Not all of it's anything that makes me happy. But I tell you what, knowing the fatherhood of God is a wonderful blessing. And you ought to take advantage of that. You ought to come into the presence of God and not feel like you can't come into His presence. Now, sometimes, I don't know, I would not react well with kings and courts. I'm just, not my nature. Now, maybe I'd be raised up some other way, but the idea of bowing down to somebody and they having absolute control over you, I didn't even like being in the Air Force. I didn't like basic training. Did you like basic training? I was 11 weeks of idiots running me around doing idiotic things. Picking up rocks over here and carrying them to this field. Next day, pick those same rocks up, put them back to the other field. Back again. They're just breaking your will. But I'll tell you what they can do. Mama and Daddy, when you don't break your kids' will, just send them in the service. They'll get it. They'll do the job. And if they get one that doesn't seem like he wants to be broke, they'll just pull him out of this flight and put him in another, and he's got 11 more weeks. They know how to handle you. And you don't want a dishonorable discharge or a general discharge. You want an honorable discharge if you ever want to have a good job in your life. I learned some things in the military. And you know, what a blessing they were. I got saved there. Man, I preached my first sermon there. I won people to the Lord. Wow, what a tremendous blessing. And I really had a good experience with the Father God. God will take care of you. If you watch Him and you trust Him and you think about Him, here's a great promise. God says He will be your Father. Is that a worthwhile promise? I think it is. I think it's something that ought to bring joy to your heart. The fatherhood of God. In 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." You know, my kids, they've got my genes in them. Verlene and my genes combined in those children, just like yours did. I remember a time when I was the first year I was teaching at Page Middle School here in San Antonio, right? I got out of college. Had a little boy that he just really looked peculiar. And I thought, sure feel sorry for his parents, you know, that having this kid like he is. And I was sort of sympathetic. And then we had Meet the Parents night. They were just like him. They were just like him. They were just as proud of him as they could possibly be. Have you ever thought that God might be proud of you? He might be proud to have you as his son, or proud to have you as his daughter. The fatherhood of God, they shall be my sons and my daughters. And we have a family relationship out there. How about that for a promise? You got a little discouragement this week? How about thinking about God's your father? I bet you didn't think about it this week. But you need to. By the way, I got a lot more promises, and I've got a few more. How about prayer? I know I've mentioned this in prayer meeting, I don't know how many times. It fascinates me that God would answer my prayers. It surprises me that God could want to know what I think, that He would want my request. Because I think of God as so big and so great and so powerful and so wise and so beyond what I don't think I am. And yet here He is, and He said, "Let your request be made known unto me." Wow. We remember I preached on Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. Bless your heart, we ought to pray. James 5, 16, and 17 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another." I don't think you think prayer is as powerful as God does. I think most of us, that's the last thing we do, not the first thing we do, Amen. Is pray. And that looks like to me we ought to be praying very soon. Pray one for another that you may be healed. And it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God seems to be telling you that if you would get serious about praying, it would affect something. You can affect something. Your prayers can affect something. They not only can affect you, they can affect your husband or wife. They can affect your son or your daughter, your mother or your father. They can affect the church. They can affect the country. Daniel, when he was praying, caused a war in heaven. He didn't know that. He just turned towards Jerusalem and opened up and prayed. And God Almighty sent him an answer. And the devil sent somebody to fight that one. And here's a war in heaven. Somebody comes down, some angel, and finally gives him the answer to his prayer. And he said, "But I got to go help out the guy that's fighting." Wow. You ought to pray. Amen. You ought to pray. God wants you to pray. Do you know what God wants you to do? He wants to know what's in your mind. He wants to know what you think. Now, your parents, you don't give your kid everything they ask for. Well, God has stressed to treat you about the same way. I am so thankful God didn't answer some of my prayers. I prayed earnestly, and I thought I was praying for the right thing. Looking at it back years down the line, I think, that was the wrong way to go. I'm sure glad God didn't listen to me. I'm glad He didn't get it. But what He's saying here is that prayer counts, and it avails much. And He said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. That's a tremendous prayer. I mean, Elijah is one of my heroes. I think about him as great as he was, but it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And I mean, the king had everybody looking, get a hold of Elijah, find Elijah. We got to get him. We got to get rain back in here, or the country's dead. How about God answering your prayer? Now, a prayer meeting is probably one of the least attended meetings in the church, period. And yet, my friend, it might be one of the most important. God will listen to you. The God that made you, you realize what a being you are? The Bible describes it as being fearfully and wonderfully made. This body, this spirit, this soul, this life, this pleasure, and all the things that we have that God has given to us. And this God, all that power and all that wisdom, He says, pray. That's one of the biggest doctrines in this book. If you add it for the number of verses that is applied to it, prayer is a wonderful thing. To think that somebody like we could come in here, say on a Wednesday night, and get out on our knees or sit in our chair or stand up and pray, whatever, and that God would pay attention? Well, that's what this book says. That's one of the great and precious promises of the book. God will pay attention. Have you ever had a prayer answered? Amen. I've had prayers answered. I remember one time I had two prayers answered and I'd forgotten I'd prayed them. But all of a sudden, they took place. And I'm thinking, well, I'm really thankful for that. I'm not going to go into detail, but two different things happened that I was worried about. I was concerned about. And I was praying about it. And then all of a sudden I realized I got both my answers. I don't remember. It just happened. God Almighty was answering my prayers, and I was not even paying attention. I think one of the greatest things we could think about is that God would listen to us. Hey, a lot of people don't want to listen to you. Isn't that right? Some people think you're real boring. Some people think, well, you're just so full of yourself. Some people think, well, you got crazy ideas. But God Almighty will listen to you pray. How about a great promise? Call unto me. I'll deliver you. Bless your heart. Righteousness is another thing. Look at Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. Now this is a righteousness not by keeping the law. This is a righteousness by faith. It's better. I guarantee you it's better. I have a hard time with the law. I really do. Every time I read it, I say, man, I'd be lost. No chance. I'd never complete it. I'd miss one of them. If you miss one, you've missed them all. But I miss a whole lot more than one. I look at all of those things and wow, righteous? No, I feel very guilty. And I think the law was given to make you feel guilty. I think you need to feel guilty so you'll repent. Because you really need to be a repenting person to be in the presence of a holy, righteous God. But here is a righteousness that said, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. This righteousness that God gives you, and is one of the great and exceeding great promises, precious promises, blessed promises, is that God will make you as righteous as Jesus Christ. I've had some people that when I said I was going to heaven, that I was saved, and that I was going to go to heaven, I wasn't going to go to hell, but they said, well, who do you think you are? You think you're some special? You're some religious person? You keep all the law? You don't ever sin? No! I'm a great big sinner. Amen. But by faith, Jesus Christ dressed me up in His righteousness. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? I'm not going to heaven on mine. Amen. I'm going to heaven on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow! Is that a gift? Should you be thanking God every day for that gift? Should you be resting in that gift? I think you ought to. Exceeding great and precious promises. Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about himself. As far as a righteous man, as we judge men, I believe this man was a righteous man. Not before God, understand me, but before men, the Apostle Paul lived an exemplary life. He was a great man even among his religion. Here's what he says. Philippians 3:9, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Wow. What a difference. What a difference. I know some of you are much more loving than I have ever been or ever will be. And yet, my friend, you don't love enough. God demands perfection. He doesn't ask for your best. He asks for perfection. He asks for perfection on the law. And there's only one person ever did that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did that, and He could then establish this righteousness, and He could give it away. He took my sin and your sin. He took the sin of the world, and by the way, he wasn't worried about dying on a cross. in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was shedding those tears like blood. I think the point that he had was that he did not want to be made sin. He was made my sin and your sin so that we could be made his righteousness. I am not going to heaven because I preach the gospel. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm not going to heaven because I've led some people to the Lord. I'm not going to heaven for a whole lot of reasons. I'm going to heaven because Jesus paid my debt. He paid my debt. Be found in Him. Oh, Paul. Paul said, I'll gladly trade my righteousness, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Wow. I rejoice in that every day of my life. And you ought to too. It ought to make you happy. You shouldn't be down and blue because these promises are yours. They're not just mine. They're not just somebody else's. Are you born again? Have you took Christ as your Savior? Did you ask Him to forgive your sins? Did you trust Him? Did you believe that He died and rose again from the grave? Did you believe that He wrote a book for you?
Amen.
By His Spirit? Wow. I tell you what, that's a great promise. How about assurance? Romans 8:28. I know there are a lot of things in this life that are just a little bit squirrely. There are a lot of things that we can't control. We can't control our health. We try. We think we can, but no, we can't control our health. Little 11-year-olds die, like I read that gravestone up there. I don't know. I don't remember whether it was a boy or a girl. One of my ancient relatives, probably seventh cousins away or something like that. But there it was with almost my name. Not Lindell, but Rendell. How about that? I don't know who would want a name like that, but when I went to high school, they put me in the girls' gym. They thought Lindell was a girl. I tried to get in, but they wouldn't let me. I guess I didn't look enough like a girl. How about Romans 8:28? How about a promise? You ever take that out and just read it all the time to yourself? Do you ever memorize that verse? You ever put it on a 3x5 card and hang it on the refrigerator? You ought to. What about a promise this is? We know. Not we hope. Not even we pray. We know that all things? Man, I've seen some bad things. Have you seen some bad things? This takes faith. To believe this verse takes faith. We know that all things work together for good. He didn't say all things were good, but He said He'd turn them to good. All things work together to good, for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. Now here's your predestination. For Him whom He did foreknow, He knew before the foundation of the world whether or not you were going to accept Him or not.
Amen.
He knew everybody that's going to be in the body of Christ, and He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son. The predestination here is not that predestined to be saved or lost or to be heaven or hell. It's that everyone that's saved is predestined to be made like Jesus. Hey, I like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good news. To them who are called according to His purpose. Look at verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's an assurance. I have a joy and a peace in Jesus Christ, in my faith, that carries me through everything I've seen in 81 years. I've been saved 61 of those years, going to be a little over 61 of those years. And man, the blessings God has given me, I feel like a spoiled child. I feel like a spoiled child. God has blessed me, gave me a wonderful home. Gave me pretty good health for a long time. Kept me alive. I don't know why he keep me alive sometimes. I'm like some of the other old folks. I heard the actor Kirk Douglas on his 100th birthday. Somebody asked him, said, "Hi, why are you still alive?" He said, "God isn't ready for me yet." Yeah. Well, I guess evidently God isn't ready for me yet. Whatever. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God in Him, for all the promises of God in Him, that's Christ, are yea. In Christ, Christ gets answers to everything He wills for. And in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. How about that for a promise? All things work together for good.
Thank you, Lord.
And all the promises of God are yes, in Christ. Well, another one, forgiveness. One of the first verses I learned in the Bible when I first began to witness and that first few months after I was saved was this one. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You ought to know it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, if we confess our sins, you ought to be going around confessing. I don't care if you're saved or not, boy, you even saved people need to be confessing their sins. You can get yourself in real trouble walking proud with God Almighty. You need to, when your mind lets you down, when your flesh lets you down, when the body is lusting against the spirit, you need to confess that to God and ask God to cleanse you.
Yeah,
clean your mind up. Get forgiveness. Forgiveness, what a great thing to forgive our sins.
Amen.
I'm still a sinner, though I'm a saint. And so some people would make that I'm not a sinner anymore because I am a saint. I've been sanctified by the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what it says? He says He'll forgive me. You might ought to keep real short accounts with God. You might ought to confess real quickly your unbelief, your laziness, your fear, your anger. Got a letter here recently and a man said he was trying to get something straight that happened years and years ago. And I was thinking, you waited a long time. Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Hey, married folks, make up before you go to bed. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's the way to keep a good marriage. You need to be able to confess that you could be possibly wrong. You couldn't think of it that way, could you? Me? Wrong? Wrong? How about forgiveness? How about forgiveness? You got somebody you got a grudge against right now? Didn't Jesus forgive all your sins? Do you believe Jesus has forgiven all of your sins? Then how could you hold up anything? Who has ever done you the way you've done Jesus? Who has ever treated you the way you've treated God? You yourself have done things to people since. I tell you, this gossip, I've heard several stories that it's half truth. And you look at these politicians and you got all this garbage and they're all lying. And they're all pushing for their agenda. They don't care who they hurt. And sometimes they destroy lives. And sometimes your gossip that you spread, which isn't true, you know, I'll give you a little hint. I might have said it to you a bunch of times. I don't like dealing with one member of a disgruntled family. Because whichever one tells the story just so it's good for them. And then when the other one comes in, you get a different picture. So I used to have a little incident. This woman would come to me. She'd tell me how mean her husband was, and I was ready to go out and whip him. And then the husband comes in, and I was ready to take her on. So I like to have them together where they can fight each other. And say, that's a lie. I didn't say that. Well, it saves a whole lot of time, really. Forgiveness? What a blessing. I'm forgiven.
Amen.
I'm forgiven. I did some stupid things when I was young. I'm forgiven. I've done some stupid things since I've been old. I'm forgiven. Do you have anything you haven't confessed? Do you have anything you haven't dealt with the Lord on? Christian friend, keep the couch clear. If we confess our sins, what a promise. He didn't say if you make everything right, if you've done this, if you crawl on your knees for 50 miles over gravel. He said if we confess. What a promise. That's a great and exceeding and precious promise from God Almighty to you. If we confess our sins, faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing. Well, there's another thing, and I'll close. I think another great gift is the promise that He's changed us.
Amen.
I know I'm not the same I was.
Right. Yeah.
I sound alike. I've still got this country hick voice. And I've got some of my ways. I'm still a smart aleck. And still do foolish things and tease too much. I got all sorts of problems. But you know, Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Wow. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Is that riches?
Yes.
Are you spoiled rotten?
No, we are.
You are so blessed. You ought to go out of here today blessed.
Amen.
You ought to go all this week blessed. Okay, so you got some trouble. So the car broke down. So the wife gets mad. So the husband loses his temper. Oh, you ought to go out of here blessed.
Amen.
You've been changed. God deserves thanks. He made you where you could fit in with the saints in light. Wow. Oh, man. Inheritance of the saints in light. And then verse 13, He delivered us from the power of darkness. What used to control you doesn't control you anymore. What used to be your besetting sin is no longer your besetting sin. There's a whole lot of blessings that have come in your life. They're great. They're exceeding great. And they're precious. And they're blessed. Wow, what a change has come in my life. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and I've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Amen.
Now I have a lot more promises that I'm not going to touch. That's about all I thought I could get through with, and it's 12 o'clock. Why don't we stand and sing hymn number 236.